Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Radio Network Sports Update.
It's the update from One Bills Drive. The Bills are back at work today. They've got another game coming up Sunday after yesterday's win, 31-21 win over the Miami Dolphins at New Era Field. The Bills 5-1 for the first time since 2008. And Sean McDermott now 3-0 at home against the Dolphins. Now 3-0 coming off the bye. The Bills allowed just 21 points. They've only allowed 91 points this season. Opponents have averaged about 15 points per game. That's the fewest points a Bills team has allowed through six games since 1993. The Bills had one injury of consequence. Cornerback Kevin Johnson left the game with a knock to the head. No update on where that's going. Head coach Sean McDermott meets with the media later today, and maybe we get an update on that. Next up for the Bills, the Eagles coming to town on Sunday. The Eagles lost yesterday in Dallas last night 37-10. Dallas took advantage of a weakened linebacking core and some early turnovers by Philadelphia to build an early lead. So now the Eagles come here on Sunday. Carson Wentz yesterday, 16 of 26, 191 yards, a touchdown and one interception. Monday Night Football tonight, an AFC East matchup. The New York Jets, 1-4 at home against New England. Jets coming off their upset win over the Cowboys last Sunday. The Patriots are 6-0, coming off a win against the Giants last week. The Patriots have won the last seven times these two teams have played. Kickoff tonight, 8:15 at MetLife Stadium. The Patriots and the Jets on Monday Night Football. Sabres are home tomorrow night against San Jose. They just beat the Sharks 4-3 on Saturday. Buffalo now going 2-1 on their road trip through California. They've got 7 wins, 1 loss, and 1 tie so far. They shut out the Kings after losing their first game out west to Anaheim and then beat San Jose 4-3 Saturday. Sharks tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center. And the World Series is set. The Houston Astros, heavy favorites over the Washington Nationals in the World Series. Game one is coming up tomorrow in Houston. The Nats making the franchise first appearance in the World Series. They had to overcome a disappointing start to their season to get there. Washington on May 23rd with 19 wins and 31 losses. And here they are, the National League reps in the World Series, which starts tomorrow. That's the update from One Bills Live. Yes, sir?
Washington, when did they start being a team?
You're just being obtuse here. You know. And I bet you even know where they came from. Think about it. Montreal Expos.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He wants me to. He's trying to get me. Chris Brown is with us. Steve has made a career of hating baseball.
Yeah,
and he knows how much it bothers me. I consider it.
You know what
is this
me?
Called the grind your gears segment? Or
I consider it un-American to be so anti-baseball, Steve. I've told you this.
You know what surprised me about that, Brownie? Is what a nerve it strikes with some people that I don't like baseball.
Well.
It's not natural. It's not normal.
He had an interesting argument, which he shared with us during a dinner in the preseason on the road to Carolina.
Was I there?
I think I had a beer in me.
I don't believe you were.
Okay.
But it was a very interesting argument that he laid out. He thinks it's a big me sport, individual me sport, just because of the
– You don't have to speak for me. I can do that.
individualistic nature
like
of
I'm
the sport.
I'm dodging it.
So,
yeah. Did you hear what Steve said with Eric Wood first hour?
I did
it's
not.
The most, it's the best thing he's ever said.
Really?
He wrote it down.
Wow.
I had to write it down because Murph was like.
It stopped the show dead in its tracks.
Holy
Steve
cow.
Steve Tasker philosophy. We were talking about, what? Can I read it so I can refresh my? Where is it? Oh,
right there,
gratitude. We're talking about gratitude.
Okay.
With Eric Wood.
Eric was talking about getting only one scholarship offer.
Yeah, going to Louisville. He's going to the Louisville Hall of Fame this week.
Through the 4 years of his college.
Yeah, and he's talking about how grateful he was that Louisville gave him that shot. And Steve spits this out. Go ahead, Steve.
I said, a grateful heart leads to a lot of success.
Wow. Let's just, all of us just think.
That's poignant with a capital
no,
P.
Man, that's great.
Well, yeah.
I think you can knit like
is
that.
Is that your own?
Yes, I said. That's what I said.
As far as I know. It came to me like and I had to write it down or I'd forget it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
A grateful heart leads to a lot.
You know who used to do a lot of that? Keith Richards. Keith Richards used to record when he was noodling.
Rolling Stones?
Yeah, noodling around on his guitar because he was convinced he would forget some of the best stuff he ever did.
Yeah.
So this is a true story, now that we're completely off topic.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
But he was on a cross-Atlantic flight. Noodling around with his guitar. He liked this lick he was playing, but he was half in the bag. Duh. So he hit his recorder
yeah.
and started playing it and dozed off while playing it and woke up and then played it back and said, oh, boy, that's a pretty good lick. It was Start Me Up. That was the lick that he played. So had he not hit record and passed out on the plane, we may have never heard Start Me Up.
Wow. See, you're in the similar
How about
I'm
that?
I'm glad you wrote that down.
So I'm glad you wrote it down, Steve.
And now you got to go home and crochet some pillows or something with that.
The problem is I didn't know it was that good until you said it. So I said, I'm glad you hit record.
Stop me dead in my tracks. We're not used to that. It was good, Steve.
We're not.
Chris Brown is with us, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com, to talk about yesterday's 10-point win.
It's never happened. Anything like it.
Rarely. I don't say much either of consequence, so you're not alone. 10-point win over the Dolphins, Chris, and we've had a lot of calls today. And, yeah, people are poking holes in it in some respects because there are places to poke holes, yeah, right? The Bills win despite not playing well. I think that's big.
Right. I will adopt for a day anyway the Al Davis philosophy. Just win, baby.
Oh, sure.
You got the win, so you're 5-1. You took care of business, but the phrase that kind of came to mind for me in just kind of watching this game at face value the first time through was they're kind of cheating the hangman a little bit here. They play better competition in the weeks to come, and if they can't get more consistent where they play a pretty buttoned up game start to finish, they will get victimized at some point in time. This league is too close to one another, team to team, where at some point or another, the law of averages is going to catch up with you, and the mistakes that you make will cost you, or the inefficiencies that you have will cost you a game here or there. It's just the law of averages, no matter who you're playing.
Biggest failing for the Bills yesterday in a victory was it, I'm going to offer you a few options here, and you don't have to choose any of them. Was it
I have one in my head.
Settling for field goals instead of early touchdowns? I'm waiting to see if
Keep
you
going.
Respond.
I'll wait till you're finished.
Was it defense against the run, a little suspect, especially early on, most likely early on? Or was it Josh Allen just not being extra sharp? What do you think?
I'll use more of a team statistic here. I think the difference, especially in the first half, was third down in red zone for the offense. Could not convert on third down. They were 1-for-6 at halftime. Couldn't make it on the money downs.
This goes to the field goal.
And some of it was due to miscommunication or inaccuracy on Josh's part. There was a ball he threw down the far sideline going towards the tunnel end when he was, I can't remember who he was targeting. He was trying to take a shot to the end zone there. And people are like, oh my God, he overthrew it. If you go back and watch, the intended receiver on that play actually stumbled, took two stumble steps, stayed up, but by that point, the play's over. I mean, Steve would be the first person to tell you. With the timing on those plays, you take two stumble steps with as fine as you have to cut it in the NFL, the play's over. And it's going to look like an overthrow. I still don't know if they would have hooked up had he run the route clean, but there were some missed timing in the passing game yesterday. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
John Brown addressed it after the game. We were talking to him about his touchdown, and he says, look, the chemistry's good, but it can be better. He goes, there's route running that I still have to perfect, along with some other receivers too. So I thought it was interesting that his take on it, he took it off the quarterback, and he put it on the receiving core, which, in a league and a fan base, and I'm talking about the whole NFL, where it's all about the head coach and the quarterback, it was a fresh perspective that I thought John Brown lent to the conversation. And John Brown's the type of guy that's going to put it on himself before anybody anyway. I was trying to talk to him about the matchup with him and Ryan Lewis and how that was a clear mismatch and how the Bills finally took advantage of it. And he talked for 45 seconds about what a competitor Ryan Lewis is. That's just who John Brown is. But I think his point is a valid one. There is some chemistry ground that this receiving core has to cover with Josh, and this is an example of, again, and we've talked about it on this show, all the newness that exists on the offense. It's still not a well-oiled machine, and that is part of the reason for some of the inefficiency that we're still seeing.
Getting more changes. Singletary's in, Tyler Kroft is in, you're right. I mean, it's definitely a work in progress.
So they're sitting there at 5-1 in the conference, second-best record in the conference, tied for the second-best record in the league. So it looks like they've got something good going on. Does yesterday's, not the outcome, but does yesterday's performance give you kind of pause to say maybe this isn't sustainable?
Well, like I was saying, I still think there's plenty of improvement to be had here, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive issues that you mentioned, Murph, about the run defense, I think they just got out-schemed, and we saw what it means when Matt Milano's not in the lineup. It was very clear to me that the Dolphins' run game targeted Maurice Alexander. They targeted the new guy in the base package. They stayed in personnel that would keep Buffalo's base defense on the field, namely Maurice Alexander out there as the third linebacker, knowing he doesn't have as much experience on the field with Tremaine Edmonds and Lorenzo Alexander. And so what you had was a second level of defense that wasn't quite in sync the way it had been for the first 5 weeks of the season with three guys who had largely played together for the better part of the last two seasons. So they took advantage of that. There was some out-of-sync plays where they weren't as gap-sound as they have been in recent weeks, and we saw the results of that. Now, flipping it back to Steve's argument, I think if you don't continue to improve, and believe me, I don't want to beat this drum because Coach McDermott beats it every single day of every single week, but the growth mindset and the daily self-improvement has to happen here. It's not just coach speak. It's a valid thing that has to take place, because if it does not, as I said in some of my opening comments here, it is going to come back to bite them, and they're going to have crooked numbers in the loss column in the not-too-distant future if it doesn't change for the better.
Well, Chris Brown is with us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. I want to talk more about the Bills passing offense with you in a minute, Chris. But before we get to that, an interesting question submitted on Twitter, which Steve and I have we haven't really answered yet. I acknowledge that. Greg Brockway tweets this, and, hey, Chris, why wasn't Jordan Phillips' tackle and forced fumble on Fitzpatrick not a sack? You know the play, the big play right before the interception.
Right. Yeah, I don't know
if he's passing.
Yeah.
It's a close one.
It's kind of an in-between deal.
Yeah.
And that could be the only reason I would imagine that, you know, the statisticians were unsure as to what to label that. I was kind of wondering if they – I was surprised nobody tried to pounce on that ball sooner. Maybe they just didn't see it because it was behind
Fitz. Including Jordan.
Yeah. Right, because it was
right, sitting right between his legs.
It was loose, and I don't know if – I mean, maybe they considered him down by contact anyway, so a moot point.
It would have been a replay, and it would have been
– yeah.
Ball would have been out.
I was surprised they didn't take a second look at that.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it was coming loose before he was completely down.
Let me get to a call here, Chris, while you're with us, because this gets us to an area I know you want to talk about, the Bills passing offense. Rick in Albany has a question first. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I've been patiently waiting for this subject for a long time, especially ever since we drafted Josh Allen. And I see it like last year they did it a few times, and they only did it like twice this year. What is going on with the deep ball? How come they haven't been using the deep ball as an option for the offense?
Did you see Josh throw it?
There's at least three times yesterday, right?
Josh Allen threw it. He threw three deep balls yesterday, and did you see what the result was on those?
Yeah, Rick? Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things is that, you know, if you want to develop a touch, he's going to have to do it a lot more, or, you know, I don't know.
Rick, I don't know if you know this. They practice 6 days a week other than the game day. I don't know how many times you think you're going to see it in practice and get – it's up to them. Josh has got to complete it. That throw to Andre Roberts missed by 10 yards.
And he was beating himself up after the game for not hitting on that because Roberts had his corner beaten and the safety beaten by a couple of steps.
He got behind everybody.
Chris, you've done a little research on this, though, and found that things are not that much different from where they were a year ago.
You know, I heard all the comments, you know, on local radio, and you've seen it on social media, people pining for more deep ball shots. And so I decided, well, let me look up pass completion by distance for this offense this year. So for this season, pass completions by distance, the majority of the completions are happening between 6 and 10 yards, 36%. The next highest percentage is from 11 to 20 yards, which is almost 27%. So what you're talking about here is essentially almost two-thirds of the completions are happening between 6 and 20 yards. And I think that's where Brian Daboll wants the bread and butter of his offense to operate when they're throwing the football, in that range. Why? Because you've got players like John Brown and Cole Beasley who thrive in those areas of the field. They're your two most reliable receivers. They're your two most productive receivers to this point. And those are higher percentage plays to stay on the field, stay on schedule in terms of down and distance, and get into the red zone where you finish drives. And, oh, by the way, the Bills are still near the top of the league in red zone touchdown efficiency when they get down there, despite the field goals that they kicked yesterday. They're second in the league right now at almost 69% success rate. The only team that's better is Minnesota. So they're the best team in the AFC when they get to the red zone. So they are moving the ball with a high rate of success. The only thing they're not doing is scoring outside the red zone. They're not scoring touchdowns from outside there. And this is where I think the deep ball completion percentage comes into play on the part of the fans. They say, well, we get down to the red zone and we usually score there, and that's great, but we can't just score down there. We want to score from the outside. And maybe it is a little bit of nitpicking, but this year, 21-plus yard completions by distance, 11.4% of the completion so far this year. Right. Now, if you go back to last year, and let's just take Josh's starts, you know, from last season. 11 starts, was it, I think?
Yep.
So if you go just by using Josh's stats in 2018, pass completion by distance, 21 yards plus is only 17%. So you're talking a difference of only 6%, and we're only going on a sample size of six games this year. I don't know if that's a large enough sample size to stamp this as a drop in deep ball completion percentage. Yes, it's a 6% drop on the surface, or a 5.6% drop if we want to split hairs. But I don't know if it's a big enough sample size, as I mentioned in the tweet that I put out today. And you look at the other numbers, the only noticeable change is the 10% jump in the 6 to 10 yard area, which I think is an area of focus that Dable put on Josh Allen, because his completion percentage in that area wasn't very good last year. And I think the reason that that 10% jump in the 6 to 10 yard area is part of the reason why his completion percentage is 10% higher than it was last year. It's at 62% right now. It was at 52% last year. So you've made him a more efficient quarterback. I don't want to get too deep
Steve's
in the numbers.
Eyes have glazed over.
Yeah. But you're making my head hurt.
Let me just boil it down. See, if you're saying they really are completing deep passes at nearly the same rate they did a year ago.
It's a little bit lower.
A little bit lower. 6% lower. 5.7% lower. Oh, and there is significant improvement in the short stuff, which is kind of what we were looking for going into the year.
I don't care about this deep ball. You know why? You were completing all these deep balls last year in a six-win season. You're losing 40% more than you're winning. I'd rather have you winning 80% more than you're losing.
Yeah.
Like you are this year.
Yeah.
Just shut up about the deep ball.
Right.
Don't look at me.
This is some of what I was saying on the pregame show yesterday before the game. We have to remember Brian Dable comes from the New England School of Offense. And what have they been enormously successful with? And yes, I know they have Tom Brady as their quarterback, but the nuts and bolts of that offensive scheme has been a short to intermediate passing game that keeps them on schedule and down distance, moves the sticks, keeps the offense on the field, and takes the pressure off the defense. Now, what's the next step that they have to reach with that approach? The next step they have to reach is consistency on third down, which has been substandard to this point, and scoring with more yards after the catch. The New England offense has been largely successful because they had players who could get yards after the catch, whether you're talking about Edelman, Welker, Randy Moss, and run down the list. Troy Brown. You can go all the way back to Troy Brown. The guy's got yards after the catch. So that's the next step, and that's the step that the receiving core has to take,
right?
Not necessarily the quarterback, if this is going to be your approach on offense.
And let me just say, and we don't want to get caught in the weeds here, and Steve, I want you to get in too, but Mike, taking a step back from all those numbers, which I see what you're saying, Chris, to me, it's, look, we got new parts here on offense. There are new starters, nine new starters from a year ago, and new guys coming in. This is going to evolve. I know they played six. They're working on week seven now, game seven, but it's still evolving. I think it will get better. I think it almost does get better, actually.
Which is why I agree 100% with John Brown. Are there steps that Josh Allen has to take with his game? Yes. I'm not going to debate that for a second. But there's steps this receiving core has to take also. And John Brown stated that unequivocally in the locker room yesterday. And I think he's 100% right. Everybody's got to improve.
Yeah.
And the receivers, where they have to improve, is with their consistency of separation, not necessarily Brown or Beasley, but the rest of the lot, and with yards after the catch. They have to improve in those areas.
Your thoughts, Dr. Tasker?
Well, everybody gets – and we do this naturally, but it's – when you're inside the building, when you're on these teams, it makes absolutely no sense. You don't compare this Buffalo Bills team, particularly this Buffalo Bills offense, to last year's offense. There are nine new guys on it. It ain't going to look the same. It's not supposed to look the same. They don't want it to look the same. So if the good part of last year's offense was good enough to lose 10 games, why do you want to see it?
Don't start yelling now.
The only number Steve offense, cares about is 6-10 and 5-1.
Let this offense be what it's supposed to be. You got different guys. They're going to play differently. You're not going to have it all. It's never going to be perfect, but they're playing way better, way more consistently than they did a year ago, if that's where you want to compare it to. They're doing enough. We'd all like to see them do more. But I don't know that I think that the missing ingredient, and it makes it sound like, and maybe I'm overstating what people are saying, but hey, this long ball, if they hit one long ball a game, that ain't going to be some magic wand that you'd wave over this offense, and all of a sudden it's going to be Kansas City with Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Come on.
You're right.
Just let them do what they do.
Mario from Buffalo on the line with some thoughts about the Buffalo passing offense. Mario, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Taking my call. I 100% agree with you guys on shut up about this deep ball garbage. Simply because record, it speaks for itself. You know, take what the defense gives you. Simply pick them down, 7 yards, 10 yards. Then when a deep ball comes available, take it. Look at how Josh Allen rolls out and how the defense gets scared when he rolls out because he has a God-given ability to run. Do not change his game. Let the game come to you.
Yeah, it's a maturation thing, guys. I think this offensive coaching staff realizes that as much as they want to have it all to turn to or to call or to dial up, they're recognizing the fact that they have to take baby steps because of all the new parts that exist on this offense, whether it's four new offensive linemen, a brand new receiving core, all four new tight ends,
yeah,
or three new running backs. I mean, it's going to take time to mesh all of that together, especially in a sport that is as scripted as football. I mean, all the planning and the stuff that goes into executing a sound game plan, when you add 9 to 11 new parts to the equation, it's going to take time for all of that to fit together in a seamless fashion in the snap of a finger on plays that largely last 3 to 5 seconds. It's just not going to magically happen right away.
I get it. And it's fun to watch this long ball and all that. But here's the thing we've been harping on all year, and we've seen it. This team, first and foremost, needs to do two things before they ever think about the long ball. They need to cut out the penalties. They need to cut out the turnovers. And they did that yesterday, the turnover part. They had some penalties that really crushed them yesterday.
Yep.
They need to do that first. As long as they stay away from the turnovers, stay away from the penalties, I think that will make them feel a lot. We'll have a lot of good plays not taken off the board because of a holding penalty.
And your defense is good enough to reward you for doing just that.
You're gonna cash in on more of your red zone chances. You're going to stay on the field more. You're going to have third down efficiency is going to be better. So stick to the basics. I mean, this is what they really need to work on. Forget the long ball.
And the Bills are
now – turnovers and penalties.
And the Bills are now 9-1 in games that Josh Allen starts where they have one turnover or less.
Yep.
9-1.
Chris,
they're tough to beat, man.
Chris, before we let you go, and we're running out of time here, Robert Foster inactive yesterday. I keep hoping that they find a role for him to play. Should I give up on that, do you think?
I don't want you to because I don't want to give up either.
I don't want to give up on Robert Foster.
And fans were all up in arms when the inactive list came out yesterday, and they were tweeting me up and down saying, what's going on with Robert Foster? And I stated it pretty simply. Nothing's going on with Robert Foster. He's essentially a backup on this roster now.
Yeah.
He is John Brown's backup. Now, if there are some elements of Buffalo's passing game at whatever level where they deem there is a deficiency, I think that's where you can turn to a guy like Robert Foster. And I know you and I were talking about this before we came on for this segment, but I think where Robert Foster can help this offense maybe take another step is in some of those deeper crossing routes. It's been sorely absent from Buffalo's passing game to this point, at least in my estimation. And I'm not going to pretend to remember every passing play that's been called by Brian Daboll, but I think if they feel they need to diversify the offense or they feel there's a tendency where they're getting a little bit too predictable, I think Robert Foster is a new card that you can pull out of your deck and play in a given week against a given opponent. And this week might be a good week to do that because this is a Philadelphia Eagles secondary that is getting ripped apart by just about every quarterback worth his salt in the league with two or three receivers that he can throw to. They've been injured back there. They've been subpar back there. So if you want to maybe introduce, you know, a new card to your hand, Robert Foster is certainly one that you can play, and I think playing it this week wouldn't be a terribly bad idea.
Yeah, I agree with you. Robert Foster got deactivated because Sean McDermott's mantra has always been, and we saw it last year in training camp when there was a three-way competition for the quarterback spot.
Right.
You earn your way onto the field. You earn your way on the field, and you earn your way off the field. Robert Foster is in a deep pool of pretty good guys.
Right.
It's hard to get on the field, particularly when you got a guy like, you know, John Brown and Cole Beasley and these guys, and like Duke Williams. I mean, they're making the most of their opportunities. And for all the things we don't see, all the practices, all the meetings, and all the stuff, there's a lot that goes into earning your way on
right.
the field.
And I would argue that John Brown is probably the MVP of this team through the first half of the season. With what he has done for this offense, leads the team in receptions, receiving yards, touchdowns, and is among the league leaders in a couple of categories as well.
I smell a Twitter
and
yeah, right.
And
you gotta wait till we get to midseason.
And he's been the most consistent player on offense, yeah. at least 50 yards receiving every week out. There's only one other player in the league that has done that to this point. Field Yates, we will credit for this statistic, but at least 50 yards receiving in every game this season for their team. There's only one other player that's done that, and that's the Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas and John Brown. That's it.
That's good.
And so I think Robert Foster, just to wrap this up. Robert Foster, I think, can serve a role for this team. And let's not forget this. While Josh Allen has established a very nice rapport on the field with John Brown and Cole Beasley, let's not forget who he had the best rapport with on the field last year. It was Robert Foster. So if there is something missing in the passing game, that is a guy that you can probably turn to. And I would think that Robert Foster and Josh Allen could reestablish that chemistry pretty quickly.
McDermott today, 4 or 4:30?
I think it's four.
I think it's four. And the injury really of consequence yesterday appeared to be Kevin Johnson.
Johnson, we got follow-up on Duke Williams, too. He did return to the game, but took a hard fall on that shoulder. So, you know, maybe Coach has an update on him. You know, even if he just tells us he's day-to-day instead of week-to-week, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
We'll take that at this point. But we don't usually get too many updates on Monday, and I understand why. There's a strategic advantage there, and they really don't have to give any true updates until Wednesday when the first injury report
comes out. Bills have the Dolphins again in 5 weeks. Before we let you go, what do you think of Fitz?
Gamer, man.
Yep, that's exactly the word I use. He is a gamer.
You know, the game's pretty much done, and that guy's scrambling for a touchdown and lowering his head. I mean, for a guy that went to Harvard, sometimes I think he's half cracked. But I think it's just his competitive nature, and he's a very easy guy to rally around. And I think that's why he is such a popular player with teammates. Even, I mean, Eric Wood, you know what I mean? It goes both ways. Because think about the impromptu retirement of Eric Wood here 2 years ago. Who made it up here for the press conference?
That's right.
Ryan Fitzpatrick was here.
Eric was on the show in the first hour, and he and I had this talk. You know, every quarterback brings something to the table, and Fitzpatrick he's 36. He's played forever. He's been for eight.
He can still run.
Right. You know why? You know what that guy does and why he's been able to play until he's 36, played for eight different teams, thrown a touchdown. The only guy, and he's done historic things, only got to throw a touchdown for eight different teams, is because he is an elite leader. He may not be an elite arm, he may not be an elite athlete.
He's super smart.
That guy is an elite leader, and the players respond to him. And you're right, he is incredibly intelligent, Harvard education and all that. But the guy has the ability to elevate the players around him. He is an elite leader in the National Football League of being a guy players play hard for. You saw it yesterday. And I think it said something about Fitz that – later in the week when they backtracked and said Rosen's not going to start, Fitz is. That effort you got yesterday from the rest of the Dolphins players was a statement about them agreeing.
He's just got to cut a hole in his beard now so his chin strap fits. I mean, that thing almost doesn't fit on his chin.
What do you got coming up on the website? What are you writing these days?
Got some good noteworthy numbers. Numbers on John Brown and numbers on Josh Allen, who is leading the league in a statistical category that people might not be aware of. So tune in for that tomorrow.
I miss brownie points when you used to.
Well, this is kind of an offshoot of that.
Okay.
It's more statistically based than you know, my preferences in terms of what happened in a game. I don't know. We'll see if we can revitalize that
fan,
at some point
that?
In time.
I'm your biggest fan.
Are you?
Oh, I'm always reading your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
No, you're not, Steve.
I'll take a look at it.
It's part of my job.
You are Captain Cliff Notes. Come on.
No,
Steve.
I am not.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Brown, thanks, Bills Brownie. Insider, BuffaloBills.com. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live presented by Kalata Health, live from the Seneca Studio, Seneca Resorts and Casino. Nothing comes close.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Quick pass, left side, caught, touchdown! Cole Beasley not throwing his helmet now. Touchdown, Buffalo! Cole Beasley was wide open. Touchdown, Bills.
His first touchdown in a Bills uniform, that's from the Hunt Real Estate Red Zone. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all of your real estate needs. Good to see Cole Beasley in the end zone. Josh missed him earlier, and he got angry and demonstrative about it, and then came back at him with that three-yard touchdown pass. He was wide open. That was cool.
Yeah.
It was a good way, to... finish off the scoring for the Buffalo Bills. Well, and then Micah Hyde, of course, finished it off.
Right.
John Murphy with Steve Tasker coming to you live from our Seneca studio in Orchard Park here until 3 o'clock today. So we got some time to fill, and you're welcome to join us. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Your biggest takeaway from the Bills' win over the Dolphins. It was an interesting, weird game, Steven. It started in an interesting fashion early on when the Bills had the football. I'm going to find it here now. Buffalo's the second play of the game, Josh Allen incomplete pass to Beasley, and Christian Wilkins, first overall pick of the Dolphins, right? The Clemson defensive tackle. I'll be honest with you, it was hard to find people to look for and say, I'm going to keep an eye on this guy. But going into the game, I thought, I'll watch Christian Wilkins, first round pick, 13th overall. He got tossed for throwing a punch early on. If you're watching on the MSG feed, you can see it down near the bottom third of your screen. Christian Wilkins lasted two plays. It was unfortunate for him and not smart. And he talked about it in the locker room afterwards, saying it was not smart, but just a weird way to start the game. One of their better defenders gets tossed.
I happen to be sitting up in the alumni suite. I've never been there before. It was my first chance to be there. I saw a lot of guys I played with and a lot of guys who were before me and came after me. And we were sitting there watching it, and the official – announced that, you know, number 94 is disqualified from the game. And I'm sitting next to Ed Rutkowski, former Bills quarterback, wide receiver. And he goes, he looked at me and he said, has anybody ever seen anybody get thrown out of a game that fast?
Yes, you.
And I sat there and I didn't say anything. I looked down, I kind of looked around, I raised my hand like, yeah, I've seen that. That happened to me.
How early was your?
Five plays. Kickoff, 1, 2, 3, punt, out. So I had seen it. Yeah. That's nothing. I think he might have got me for the world's fastest ejection, though. Yeah. I don't know if I held the NFL record for ejections five plays in. Certainly he's got it now.
Wilkins has it now.
Right? Second play in the game. But that's, it was strange. Cody Ford was finishing the play, and Wilkins didn't like it and took a swipe at him, and certainly you can't miss it. I mean, he took a swipe, and it doesn't matter in the NFL. If you punch somebody open hand or closed fist, and you even if you don't connect, you're done.
I'm not finding fault with that call, but I will find fault with some calls, including some roughing the passer calls against the Bills, yes. I just thought they were calling it too closely, I think. The one low hit, okay, I can get it. He didn't dive for Ryan Fitzpatrick's legs or his knees, but that's where he wound up. All right, if you want to call that. But it was Shaq Lawson roughing the passer. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Shaq Lawson bumped in. He didn't even hit. He bumped into him with his back arched away from him and his hands off. And Fitz wouldn't even have lost his feet had he not been, you know, losing his momentum anyway. But I agree with you. I think the ones that really bother me are the holding penalties. Cody Ford got called on a Frank Gore run that was a really nice run around the end and came back, and it was a hold. He got caught and nailed for it. The pre-snap penalties had a false start. The holding penalties are the ones that that bother you.
Yeah.
Some of them were legit, and some of them were kind of a little bit phantom. Josh Allen took a snap, quick three-step drop, bang, ball's out. Got a holding penalty on Deion Dawkins. I was like, and I looked at it, and I'm like, ha, no, I didn't see it. So I get it, but it's like I said in last segment with Chris Brown. Forget about all the things the Bills need to improve. Start there. Start with the turnovers and start with the penalties. If you can alleviate those or mitigate those, everything else becomes better. Everything else.
Let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls here. Jason calling from Alaska. Where in Alaska are you, Jason?
Hi, I'm in Anchorage.
Anchorage. Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Well, you kind of already just touched base on what I was going to talk about. I believe I saw a stat saying that the Bills lead the league in pre-snap penalties at like 23 or 24.
Yeah, going into last week, I haven't looked at the stats or compared them this week after yesterday. But yeah, going in, I think it was 22 of their 44 penalties or 23 of their 44 were pre-snap. That's bad.
Yeah, and then I just wanted to see what your opinions are on they're calling a lot of penalties now. These guys, you know, grabbing around the legs or ankles, calling roughing the passer, and it just seems petty. I know they're protecting their legs, but.
Yeah, well, that's the point I was just making with Steve here, Jason. I do think there were some petty ticky-tack calls that they made yesterday, and whatever. You're there to do a job if you're official. I just think everything doesn't have to be called, including some of the holding calls.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, Jason from Anchorage, I got five people from Anchorage staying in my house this weekend. Jason, you're not one of them, I guess, but I agree. Here's the thing. There are certain things the league wants to make very clear. The quarterback, you're not allowed to hit the quarterbacks below the knees, and you're not allowed to hit them with the top of your helmet, and you can't hit them in the head. That's going to be pretty much a given throughout the league. Now, certainly it leaves the defenders nothing. When they're crawling towards the quarterback and they can't get there, somebody pulls them down and they fall, and the quarterback happens to be standing there, and they fall up against the bottom of his leg. It's roughing the passer. It doesn't seem fair. But as long as it's the same for everybody, I think we're all okay with the fact that you kind of want your best, the stars in the league. You want them out there, and that's where that comes from. So you're right. I'm okay with it as long as they call it for our guy as well as they do against our guy, our defense. And if you got a guy falling up against Josh Allen's leg, I want the thing called for them too. That's when I have a problem with it. So if they're going to call it the same both ways and all the way across the board around the league, we can all live with it as long as it's consistent.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. One Bills Live coming to you from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park, presented by Kaleida Health. This is One Bills Drive. This is One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so what have we learned from today's show? It is brought to you by Skyworks, the official construction equipment rental company of the Buffalo Bills. We just rocketed through this show today. We're getting used to the routine after wins, apparently. Eric Wood was with us the first hour. He talked about Josh Allen and how he appears to be a slow starter in his game so far. Here's Eric Wood.
You know, I didn't play quarterback in this league, but early in my career, at times, I did start myself slow in games because it's not routine playing against NFL talent week in and week out yet. You know, they can give you some different looks early in a game that you haven't seen before in your career. Early on, you saw a couple pressures for the Dolphins, and they weren't completely foreign looks. I had seen them run similar schemes on film, but not exactly that. And they were able to get some pressure on them.
Josh Allen, 17 NFL starts, still a work in progress. They were kind of saying that to us. Also on the show first hour, Bills rookie or second-year linebacker Tremaine Edmonds talked about the home games, how much he loves the atmosphere at New Era Field. Here's what he said.
Man, I tell you, I love that crowd. I love playing at home. Even when we're away, it feels like a home game.
Right.
It's even hard for me out there because, you know, I'm the mic, so I'm trying to get the call, and I'm holding my head sick because I can't really hear it. But it's amazing, man. It gives us so much juice and energy out there. It's really effective, and I know the other team can feel that.
Yeah, there was juice. There was energy. And, Steve, there's two more home games coming up back-to-back weeks here. So still more work to be done for the Bills. Obviously a lot to work on, but – there you go, 1-0 in this three-game homestand. I think it's a good way to start it.
Yeah, but you've got the Philadelphia Eagles coming in. I mean, this is a team. I think they're 2-3-1 on the season.
3-4.
3-4.
Yep.
That's right. 3-4. Just below .500. Got shellacked by the Cowboys last night, and I was surprised by that. It'll be interesting to see what you can get, what the Bills can glean from the film of the Cowboys game last night, Sunday Night Football, with the Eagles going into Dallas, coming out of there with a big loss.
They've lost two in a row, the Eagles have, at Minnesota, at Dallas. This is the third game of a three-game road stretch for the Eagles. I'm sure they're feeling that. They do have a win. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier. They have a seven-point win at Green Bay this year. That's probably their – not probably, that is their best win of the season. Yeah, they're capable. The Eagles are capable.
Oh, absolutely. They're just a couple of years off their Super Bowl win. Yep. They're more than capable.
All right, we'll talk more about that game as the week moves along. Tomorrow's show, one of our favorites, Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network will join us. We'll get his take on Buffalo's win over the Dolphins and what he sees in the future. Good show today. I told you all along, I felt like we were just kind of floating through the show today.
Yeah, we were sliding downhill. It went fast.
Is this what happens when they win? You just kind of feel like you're on a cloud?
I think it must be.
We're not quite sure.
I know. What? I don't know. I like it, though. Let's not change it.
All right, and we're back tomorrow at 12 noon. Hope you can join us then. I want to thank our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We will see you tomorrow at 12 noon with One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're in the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.